Praise the Lord.
So, how many people saw the sign when they came in? One. Woohoo, one. How many people saw the sign when we changed it the other night? Another one. Okay, cool. The message this morning is give it away, and I want you to just stew on that for a minute while I'm setting things up. First off, for those that aren't here this morning, I know Jackie's down in New Bern, North Carolina, helping with the cleanup for the hurricane. Good morning, Jackie. And Penny is traveling with her mom, had taken her mom down to a funeral. So good morning, Penny. Jim is back in Florida. Andy and Dale are back down in Arizona. Jeremy, your seat's been open, brother. All of those others, Mark, Terry and Barb, Mandy, good morning to each and every one of you. Jason, I know you're listening, my youngest brother. I want to talk this morning about giving it away. And I want you to have an open mind as we start this discussion. Hopefully I want you to have an open mind anyway. I was talking with a gentleman that I know a couple of days ago, and he was explaining to me his vision that the church needed to get back to what it was in the book of Acts, where the people had everything in common. And sounds like a wonderful idea. And I started thinking about the book of Acts. It didn't take long at all until there was division coming in because of the wickedness in the heart of men. Didn't take long at all before they had to appoint deacons to take care of things because some widows weren't being taken care of, whereas others were. And there's a lot of issues, and there's still a lot of issues in people's hearts. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not suggesting everybody bring everything up in their pockets, drop it right here, and I'll take care of it. That is not me at all. When I talk about giving it away, I talk about whatever it is that we're hanging on to in our life becomes a burden for us. If you take a look at the front of the bulletin, and Rich will be putting the picture up with the message when he puts it up online, that person is a little overloaded, wouldn't you say? That person's kind of under a heavy load. In Matthew 11, beginning with verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, "Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And then he says, "Lay down your burden and take up my burden instead." So Jesus doesn't say you're not going to get through life without carrying things. You're not going to get through life without going through issues. What he's saying is, if you are so focused on your problems and your issues, you're going to miss what God has for you. This gentleman, I think that's the gentleman under the pile of stuff on the front of the bulletin, looks like it might be a guy because the pile is so big it's really kind of hard to tell. He's carrying, looks like, the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. He is loaded down. That pile that he's carrying is a lot bigger than he is. And how many times as we go through life do we grab onto things? Do we hang on to things? And whether they are material things or whether they are attitudes or whether they are just ideas and thoughts, do we grab a hold of something and refuse to look at another perspective, refuse to look at things another way? Luke, or Jesus in Luke 12, Scripture says, "Then one of them from the crowd said to him," that's to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Do you understand that as human beings, many people keep score by the things they have? Or the things that they've gone through? You know, I'm doing better than, or the keeping up with the Joneses thing. Everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say keeping up with the Joneses. The neighbors, the Jones, have a new car, so why don't I have a new car? I see in my own mind that I am inferior to them because they are able to drive a new car. My brother-in-law was at a wedding this weekend, Debbie's youngest brother. And he's standing next to a McLaren. Anybody know what a McLaren is? A McLaren is a nice, handmade sports car. Kind of like a Lamborghini or a Maserati, but this is, so it's kind of like a Rolls Royce of sports cars, you know, of racing cars. It's really, really pretty. So I wrote back and said, looks nice, but you can't pull a trailer with it. Yeah. You know, it has its, but people will look at things and based on what they have or what somebody else has, they'll use that as a way to keep score. Or have you ever been in a conversation with somebody other than me who, as you begin talking about scars, will always have to one-up you with scars or different events that have gone on in their lives? I try real hard not to do that. But I'll be honest, sometimes I get caught up in it because I got some big scars. But we all go through different things and we'll grab onto things and refuse to lay them down. And in reality, even though physically it may not seem like it, in the spirit, we look like that guy on the front of the cover, on the cover of the bulletin. We have got all of these things we refuse to let go of. We are hanging on to these things because it gives us some sort of status. Makes us better than somebody else, makes us more put upon than somebody else, gives us basically something to brag about or complain about or sets us apart. But we have to hang on to our thing. We have to hang on to our baggage. We have to hang on to our possessions, whatever they happen to be. Jesus calls us to take on His burden. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lay down yours and take up mine. When we stop trying to be the one in charge, when we stop trying to promote ourselves, when we stop trying to hang on to our claim to fame or infamy, whatever it is that we're hanging on to, and instead seek the face of the Lord and let Him work through it and let Him promote us in His time. Let Him provide for us in His time. Let Him use us as a blessing in somebody else's life. When we do that, it doesn't mean we're not going to carry a burden. It means the burden's not going to have control of us. If we can lay down our things and walk away, if we can lay down what's important to me, if I can lay down what's important to me and instead seek what's important to the Lord, it doesn't mean I'm not going to carry a burden. What it means is the burden isn't going to control my life because my life is submitted to the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter starts off talking to the leadership in the church, and he says, 1 Peter 5 beginning with verse 2, says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not so, well, somebody's got to do it. I have no choice, I have to do it. But willingly, and not for dishonest gain. The big complaint against televangelists was everything was about money. Not for me to judge, but that's the big complaint. That's what you hear all the time. And there's a thought that it's for dishonest gain. People getting into sharing the gospel because it seems like a profitable thing. I don't know where they're at. I don't know how they got there. But having been a minister for a number of years, I don't see a whole bunch of money flying my way. I know a bunch of ministers, and I don't see a bunch of money flying their way either. So to get into the gospel for money just seems to be a completely crazy idea to me. Yet there are people, Peter warned about it. Don't do it for dishonest gain. But do it eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but as examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Peter, talking to the elders of the church, talking to the leadership of the church, he said, do this as servants to God, willingly, as part of service to God, not for any other purpose, but other than to glorify God. And in doing so, God will reward you in time. God will take care of you. God will be at work in you. Praise God. That's the way I want to do things. You'll receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive one to another and be clothed in humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. He talks to the elders, the leaders of the church. Then he talks to the younger people. Then he says, all of you, be submissive to each other. That's laying down our burdens. That's not trying to compare ourselves to so-and-so. That's not trying to use whatever it is that we have, whether it's material goods, whether it's experiences, whether it's dreams and visions, whatever it is, whether it's scars, whether it's persecutions, whether it's things we're going through. Not using these things as a way to grade ourselves or compare ourselves to our brothers and sisters. Not hanging on to whatever it is that we have, but rather laying everything down. Giving it away. We're giving it away to the Lord. Couldn't find a good copy of the song that we could, sing this morning. But there's an old song, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord and Leave Them There." Don't take your burdens to the Lord. Lord, I give it all to you. And then when you get up from the altar, pick them up. And like, okay, got to put this back in this pocket, this back in this pocket. We don't pick them back up. Take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Lay down the weights, as Paul said, the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that's before us. Laying down those things that are holding us back. Laying down those things that have got a hold of our hearts. And again, it doesn't have to be a material thing. It can be a hurt. It can be a time where somebody upset you, somebody said a wrong word, and we've just held on to it. We've made it an indication of who we are, an example, a kind of identifying feature. You know, when if you ever take a look at a police report, especially an arrest record, there's a thing for identifying marks and scars. They list a person's scars, a person's tattoos, all these things. But sometimes we kind of identify the fact that, oh, we've been hurt. Everybody's been hurt. And I'm not trying to diminish the pain that people go through. I'm not trying to say it doesn't matter. What I'm trying to say is if we allow that hurt, whatever it happens to be, to define who we are holding on to a burden and that burden has got a grip on us. Give it to the Lord. Lay it down. Give it away. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. It's probably going to take multiple times of going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to work this out of me. I need your healing. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need to find the forgiveness in my heart. Lord, your word tells me I have to forgive somebody. So we begin to cry out to the Lord to change us so that this no longer has a grip on us. Sometimes we can't just give it away. Sometimes God has to work into us the ability to give it away. But He will do that if we determine in our heart to be obedient to what God has said. As we come face to face with God's Word, where it tells us to lay these things aside, that we say, Lord, I want to. I can't seem to do it. Lord, help me lay it down. Teach me. Guide me. And when it comes up again, you say the same thing again. You know, the Bible tells us, in due season we will reap if we faint not. In other words, we will succeed if we don't give up trying. There's coming a time where God is working these things in us. And God will absolutely work in us because His desire is for us to be like Jesus. His desire is to use us, to show us as examples of His grace. We have to be willing to let God change us. Because if we're not, that burden that you see the guy carrying on the front, it may not be a physical thing, but it weighs us down. It makes us not able to do the things that we know God is trying to do in us. Praise the Lord. In Acts 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him, he said to John, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, so that he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who had sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Do we ever feel like we don't have enough? We don't have the ability to do something in somebody's life. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have the funds. I don't have the time. There's a lot of things I don't have. But what I do have, am I willing to share it? What you do have, are you willing to share it? Now, do we expect that every time we find somebody in a situation, we can walk out to them and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do whatever," and it's going to work? I don't know. Bible does tell me these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will take up the serpent and not be sick. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. My Bible tells me these things. That signs and wonders and miracles are the signs of somebody who believes. Do we believe God is able to do those things today? I believe it. I have seen God do things. Now, I have also seen that it doesn't always work the way I think it's going to. But does that mean I don't share what God has given me because I'm not sure of the outcome? You realize I can't affect the outcome anyway. You can't affect the outcome anyway. All we can do is be obedient to God and reach out and whatever we can do to be a blessing to other people. How can we share God's love? It might be something as simple as a smile. It might be stopping to talk to somebody. It might be acknowledging another person as a human being. One of the big problems with, or one of the common complaints of people that I've talked to, people living on the streets, is that many people won't make eye contact with them. They won't acknowledge them as a human being. And that cuts my heart, because sometimes that's me. I'm honest. You know? Are we willing to do whatever it is we're able to do to be a blessing in somebody else's life? It may not be silver and gold. Looking in my wallet, it probably isn't. But that doesn't change the fact that God has given us His love and His joy and His wisdom and His Holy Spirit to make a difference in the world around us. Are we willing to give what we have to do whatever it is that we can do, whatever it is God puts on our heart to be a blessing to other people? Are we willing to do that? Because if we're willing to do that, God will show Himself mighty in circumstances that make absolutely no sense to us. You don't know what the effect is going to be of you even making a phone call to somebody that God's put on your heart. And you really don't know what the effect's going to be when God has put somebody on your heart, you go to call them, and you got a wrong number. You're talking to somebody that you weren't even intending to. How in the world does that happen? But you hear of stories of people who were planning to commit suicide, and the phone rang, and it was the wrong number, but it was just the right time. As God puts situations on our heart to speak into, situations on our heart to reach into, opportunities before us, are we willing to give what we have to see if it just because of who God is, because trusting that God is the one who directs our steps. God is the one who works these things out, even when we don't understand what's going on. Are we willing to not hold everything in, let our possessions or our circumstances or our history or our scars, not to let them control us, but to lay them down and take on the yoke of Jesus, whose yoke is easy and His burden is light. Mark 8, starting with verse 34, says, when He had called the people to Himself, with His disciples also, He said to them, whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake and the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when He comes into the glory of His Father and with the holy angels. Jesus talking about that time about adulterous and sinful generation. Do you think we live in the middle of an adulterous and sinful generation? I'd have to say this applies. Jesus says, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. See, from the very beginning we said Jesus has a burden for us. We have, just because we're laying down our burden, we're laying down our cares and concerns, we're laying down our goals and our ambitions to seek Him, doesn't mean we're not going to carry things through this life. But when it's the Lord's, what is what the Lord has placed on us, when it's what the Lord has given us to do, He's the one who also gives us the strength to do it. When we're trying to do things on our own, when we're trying to do things in our own mind, our burden has us, has control of us. We've talked about it becoming in some places part of our identity, or a way we keep score, or a way, you know, we keep track of things. But when we let God's work dictate, when we let God's plan lead, when we let God direct our steps, when we have everything we have with open hands, whether it being material goods, whether it be hurts, whatever it is, when we have everything with open hands and we're willing to not let it control us, God is able to do some wondrous things. God is able to use your pain and the things that you have gone through to be a blessing to other people. The Bible tells us that we are to share with comfort others with the comfort we have received. which means you had to go through things for God to comfort you. You get that, right? You get the whole cycle. Because what good does it do to comfort somebody that's never had any pain? It just seems, you know, what are you talking about? But when we've gone through things, when we've been in painful situations, when we've been overwhelmed, when we've reached the end of our rope, when we forgot to tie the knot in quick enough and it feels like we're falling, it feels like we're completely helpless, and God still directs us and God still shows Himself mighty on our behalf and God still comforts us, when we share that with somebody else, we can break down walls, we can break down barriers, we can meet people at the point of their need. And there's even people watching as you go through things that you don't know about. God doesn't waste anything. Through it all, through our pain, through our hurt, through our circumstances, through our situations, God is at work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people that are watching that we don't even know about. And He is showing Himself mighty in their lives by what He's doing in your life. Because He wants to hold us up as trophies of His grace. That He has done so many wonderful things in us. Romans 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." You know about Paul's life. You've read and studied the book of Acts, the different epistles, different things Paul went through. Through it all, even when he was setting one group of Jews against another group of Jews, even when he was stirring up trouble, which he stirred up trouble, like all of us, he's not perfect. Yet through it all, he could say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He told Timothy at one point, "Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, nor of me as slave, nor me as servant. Because you've seen how I've lived godly before you. You've seen how I've went through all of these things, giving praise and glory to God." We go through things in life. Scripture never tells us that we won't have issues. We won't have problems in this life. In fact, Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world." We're going to go through things. Peter says, "Don't be confused concerning the fiery trial which is to test you, as though some strange thing happened." It's normal. It's normal. Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips and dwelling amongst the people of unclean lips." Each and every one of us go through things in our life. The question is, are we going to let those things define who we are, or are we going to let God's grace leading us through those things define who we are? It's the difference of whether our burdens have us or we're willing to lay things down. Final passage of Scripture, Acts 20, beginning with verse 17. Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem. He's already had people try to talk him out of going. He's already had the prophet bind his hands with the belt, with Paul's sash, and say, "The Holy Spirit has said that the person who owns this belt is going to be bound just like this." He already knows what's coming. This is what he tells the people of Ephesus. Acts 20, beginning with verse 17. "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said, 'You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I have always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, I've walked uprightly before you. I've walked in humility. I have shared. I have poured out myself. I have given everything I've got to give. And now I am bound in spirit heading for Jerusalem. And I don't know what's coming except people are telling me that chains and tribulations await me. But it doesn't matter because I am committed to do what God has called me to do. I'm not hanging on to things. I'm not hanging on to my life. I'm not hanging on to anything that I have. I am submitted 100% so that God will be glorified in my life. Are we willing to trust God in our circumstances? It's one thing to talk about it. It's certainly something we all hope and expect that we will be found faithful in everything that we do. Paul went through a whole bunch before he got to this point. You go into Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is, but you go hearing some of the things Paul went through, you know, being shipwrecked a couple of times, a night and a day I've been in the deep, beaten 39 times on multiple occasions, stoned, let down out of the city in a basket twice, different cities, different things he'd gone through. Yet, I do it all because that's what God has placed on me. We all have a different path to walk, and we all have giftings and callings. We all have been equipped by God for the purpose that He has for each and every one of us. And if we are looking at our experiences and using them as a way to keep score against what somebody else went through, it's not going to work out for us. But if we're willing in all humility to do whatever it is that God has called us to do, to share whatever it is that God has given us to share, to be a blessing however God allows us to do that, if we are fulfilling God's perfect will for our life, then we've received a victor's crown. But if we're trying to determine who gets the crown down here or not, we're not seeing things, we're not seeing or judging things with having all the information. So when I tell you to give it away, I mean, don't allow anything in our life, be it material possessions, be it experiences, be it scars, be it ways we got hurt, be it whatever it happens to be. Don't allow anything to keep us back from being faithful to God. Be willing to give it all to Him, whatever it takes. Because God has a plan that far outpaces anything we can imagine. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man, the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. God has got a plan and purpose for your life. He's got a plan and purpose that's even going to include your failures, your experiences, that to bring glory to Himself and to make us more like Jesus. To show His love to a lost and dying world and to hold us up as trophies of His grace. So everything we go through, whatever it is, good, bad, indifferent, everything we experience, God has a plan. He's at work in that. If we hang on to it, we will end up like the guy on the front cover of the bulletin, buried by the weight of the things that are going on in our lives, buried by our possessions, buried by our experiences, buried by our hurts. If we will instead lay it down, give it away, let God deal with us however He chooses, then God gets glorified and we become more like Jesus. And the world gets touched by the grace of an all-loving God. Praise the Lord. Father, we just give glory and praise and thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who touches us and changes us. We thank You, Father, that You call us to walk closer to you. You call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You call us, Father, to be witnesses. You call us, Lord, to share your love to the people around us. You call us, Father, to be different than what we have been. And Lord, you call us children. You call us your own. And you are still at work in us. So, Father, we give glory and praise and thanks. Thanks for your word. Thanks for the reminder. Thanks, Father, for the nudge. And thanks, Lord, just that you haven't left us where we were, but you are continuing to change us by your glory, for your praise. We give you all thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.